This is Leo Bayview for Two Harbors Community Radio, KTWH. We're at 99.5 FM, and you find us online at ktwh.org. We're getting an update today, a well-earned update, I'd say, from a very busy legislative session and behind-the-scenes work by many. And Tom Furman is our Two Harbors Housing and Redevelopment Authority Director. I have him on the line with me. Tom, it's been an incredibly busy legislative session, and we had a number of investments made, both cash and bonding, and I know you have the proper terminology for both of those parts of the big investments that were made by the end of the legislative session last week, and they bear directly on opportunities to pursue housing projects in Two Harbors. So I just would ask you, can you kind of give us the lay of the landscape? What did the legislature decide to invest in, and how does it impact housing investment opportunities? Specifically, we have a senior housing project that is helped along by what just happened, I believe.
Yeah, very much. Thanks for having me on again, Leo. I appreciate it a lot.
Absolutely.
The current legislative session ended up passing a couple different really great housing benefit bonds bills. And the first one is the over $1 billion directly to housing. And there's an entire setup of how this money is going to be allocated and spent. But one of the biggest pieces in my mind was $40 million to support workforce housing and infrastructure in greater Minnesota. So this isn't money that's going to be even taken by the Twin Cities area. This is money outside of that area. And so I'm really excited about that because I think that we as a whole in Two Harbors can really take advantage of that kind of setup and get some good housing. But the other one was the general obligations bond, which are actually the credits that we end up utilizing from tax credits and which we're using as part of the funding mechanism for the Evergreen build that we have going on over on August Omnived Drive. That is a project that D.W. Jones has stepped in, and they are willing to be the developer for the process. And that's what's really exciting, because this means, as opposed to last year where we didn't have any bonding that was actually finalized at the state level, this finalized it, and that means that we're going to be going forward with the build. So we're really excited.
Tom, maybe you can give us a sense of, remind us, because we spoke, it's got to be about 4 or 5 months ago. And at that time, the size of the project in terms of number of units was a little bit in flux from where it is now. I think you have it in your mind that it looks like you can solidly support a 48-unit project. And it's going in at August Omnived Drive, but can you tell us a little bit more about, if things go ideally, what kind of scenario time-wise of getting it lined up, and when will folks who think that this is a fantastic option for them and or their spouse to inquire or get on a waiting list? You know, I'm jumping the gun here, Tom, but I'm giving you an opportunity to kind of give people a picture of what's coming.
Yeah. So the timeline looks like we're actually still going through the final funding mechanisms involved with the state. And we've got the applications in on time. Everything is looking great. D.W. Jones has been coordinating a lot of their efforts with me, at least in the loop, because I'm not necessarily a part of all of it, but they're keeping me informed of everything so I can see what's happening and I don't stress out too much, which is nice. But it looks like we're going to be breaking ground on time, and that's going to be in the spring of 24. It will be built in a matter of about 1 year, and it'll be starting to be filled in the spring of 2025. So we're really excited about the whole process. And as long as everything, you know, I knock on wood, things don't have any other hiccups along the way. But this is exciting. Oh, and as for the application process, that's something that D.W. Jones is going to have to work with. But I would say don't jump on the gun until probably fall of 24 is when they'll probably start taking applications, give or take.
Thank you, Tom. So people can pace themselves.
Yeah.
And I believe, though, you do kind of have a sense of where the income levels for various levels of rent might come in. Can you remind us again? It's a percent. Well, you'll have to tell me, because I cannot remember whether it's percent of average or median income or whether it has to do with the federal poverty level. I don't know which. Can you enlighten
all
me?
All of the above.
Okay.
So, yeah, sure. It's the general guideline currently is 60% AMI, which stands for average median income. And 60% AMI for a single individual right now is right around $36,000 a year. So
okay.
If you're making, and that's $3,000 a month. If you're, as a single individual, making about $3,000 a month, you'd qualify, or $3,000 or less, I should say. You'll qualify because that gives another 2 years, as that number will probably increase a little bit here and there. But yeah, it's still pretty solid. As a couple, there's about a 20% increase or so. There's so probably right around $40,000 for a couple, maybe a little bit higher, maybe $44,000.
Okay.
I don't remember those exact numbers, but it's based on this idea of 60% average median income.
Great. Can you give us a sense of where this fits into your goals for addressing? It isn't addressing that workforce housing need so much, but it is indirectly playing a big role.
It does. Indirectly, what happens is a lot of people that are currently living in their houses and they've just aged to the point where they're not able to keep care of their houses, whether it's, you know, the roof is having issues or if the foundation, or if it's just generally just getting the sidewalks shoveled in the yard mode all the time. Either way, this ends up being a great place and a great opportunity for people to be able to move into a place where they have a lot of things taken care of for them. They're still going to have to do their own laundry, make their own food, go to the grocery store on their own. This is going to be independent living, but it gives them the freedom to be able to not have to shovel every time it snows. And these kind of things really are very helpful. And so once that those individuals start moving out of their current homes in Two Harbors into Evergreen, that frees up a lot of that housing stock to become labor force housing.
In terms of ownership and management, Tom, I believe you enlightened us the first time we talked, but that's months ago, and I could use some clarification. This will be on city-owned property, but it will be at least initially fully managed by the outside entity rather than the Housing Redevelopment Authority? Okay.
Right. It's going to be taken care of. It's going to be managed, operated by D.W. Jones for 15 years.
Okay.
And after 15 years, they turn over the keys and it all becomes part of the city of the city HRA. So the HRA will continue managing it after that point in time, but for 15 years. And that's for the tax credit time frame plus the buffer, because just to make sure that everything is under compliance so that there's no issues with it for reporting purposes back to Minnesota Housing Finance Authority. So MHFA wants to make sure that you do keep your ducks in a row and everything. And D.W. Jones is a phenomenal company that's really done a great job with other buildings of the same nature. So I feel very comfortable with them taking care of that aspect of it. And then once it's ours, then we can go ahead and make sure we run it just the way that we want to, whether it's public housing or if it's a voucher system program. It'll be a very solid system, just like it has been in other different communities that have taken advantage of this process.
We're speaking today with Tom Furman, director of Two Harbors Housing Redevelopment Authority, talking about this 48-unit senior housing that got a real firm kick of momentum towards reality from the investments that were made at the Minnesota legislature with the bonding.
Funding.
And a general obligation bonding, I think is
Geo
the term.
Bonds.
Yeah. And so that is a very positive sign. In your description of the property, you called it independent housing, brought up the question of whether there are possibilities on even I don't know if this is part of a larger holding by the city, if there's a possibility of subsequent phases of maybe housing that might even include assisted living options. Is that something that's even in the grand scheme of things possible or being considered?
I think that when we end up working on more of a comprehensive plan for the city and we talk about housing, that's definitely part of the discussion, because we want to make sure that we are allowing seniors to age in place.
Right.
So we don't have to end up seeing a move out to Duluth or some other place to be able to really finish off their time here. When it does become too hard to be able to do your own laundry or something, we want to make sure that they have the opportunity to stay in an area of which they love and they've always been in. Two Harbors is a great place to continue living as long as possible.
So those options are there, but they're more a germ of a positive future idea rather than anything that's intangible discussion yet. I don't know who the partners would have to be to even have that happen.
Yeah, that's where a different developer would have to come forward and actually kind of look at whoever's going to end up owning, managing, operating the place. But that's unfortunately not part of what HRA does. HRA does not do assisted living.
Indeed. Well, Tom, I think we have a good picture of where we stand now with what seems to be something that's on track that's going to make a big difference in our local housing market. As I think I noted to you, that's well over 1% of our current population that would be, just represented by the number 48 units. I don't know how many units would typically go to single and how many would typically go to a couple. Is there a kind of a national average on these kinds of units and whether they're dual or single occupancy?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to speculate exactly what that number is going to be without, when you're talking about such a small population as Two Harbors is, it's kind of hard to guess.
Okay.
You know, generally, I'd say we're going to get probably 5% are going to be dual occupancy and the other 95% are going to be single occupancy.
Well, that helps me to understand. We're talking about maybe housing for 50 to 60 people. And again, like I'll remind people, that's well over 1% of our current population. So it is, it's moving the needle in a lot of ways.
We're making an impact on the community as a whole, and I think that's a positive thing to do for an HRA. So, yeah, anything the community really kind of feels is their need for housing, I'd love to know more about it, because I do want to work on labor force housing, especially with the dollars, the way that they're coming through for Greater Minnesota for building that kind of setup.
And we would love to.
I'm thrilled about it.
And we would love to have future conversations with you as those kinds of conversations continue and new ideas evolve. So keep us posted, Tom, and thank you very much for joining us today with that update.
You got it, Leo. Anytime that you want to talk, anytime before, 4.5 months or so passes, that's great. So give me a yell and let's chat anytime.
Absolutely. Okay. Thank you so much, Tom, for the work you've done to date, and good luck with the future of housing in Two Harbors with the HRA's involvement, at least. That you can only do what's under your purview, Tom, and it sounds like you've done a lot so far, and I wish you luck on the next steps.
Thanks so much, Leo.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Tom Furman, the director of the Two Harbors Housing Redevelopment Authority, talking about recent developments that will make senior housing in Two Harbors more likely to come our way in the next 2 years. So stay tuned. This is Leo for KTWH.